Reignite on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. We know that your focus is on your business. That's why ours is on supporting you.
Welcome back to Reignite. Now, are you a conformist or a maverick, a people pleaser or a people pusher? Well, founder of Haddon Coaching, Ed Haddon, who has just published his book, The Modern Maverick, Why Writing Your Own Rules is Better for You, Your Business and the World, believes we all need to find our inner maverick and stop worrying about what everyone else thinks. I spoke to Ed earlier and I began by asking him to explain first what a modern maverick is.
We all have an idea of what a maverick is, someone who can be a bit of a rule breaker, a bit independent, but also I think courageous and sort of sure of who they are. There's also a slightly negative idea of a bit of lawlessness or cowboys. And so I wanted to kind of add the word modern really to sort of move the word on and describe someone who wants to really live their own life, but also understands that they're part of society and that they need to contribute back and help that society, and they are in relationship to many others, and those relationships really matter. So that's the modern maverick, someone who lives their own life, is very clear on what they want to do, not what others think they should do, but they're doing it in the context of who they are close to and who they live with.
And do you think we all have the capacity to be modern mavericks, or are certain personalities, certain industries, certain skill types better set up for it?
That's a good question. I think we do. I think I call this sort of the voice, this inner maverick, this voice that we have inside of us that sometimes says, hey, look, come on, this is not quite where you wanted to be. Can you make a change here? And I think that's where it becomes difficult, is that I think often we want to try and move our lives a little bit or change something or change a relationship in our lives, but we just don't quite know how to, or don't get around to it, or are too tired. So I do think we genuinely all have this ability to take what's in the book and use it to become, I'd like to think of it as becoming more of a pilot, not a passenger of our lives, of sort of taking control a bit, if that makes sense.
And we all have that inner voice that sometimes, though, pushes us back inside the comfort zone, and maybe where we're all maybe conformists rather than mavericks. What do you think gets in our way in those moments, be it parents or maybe peers or just work expectations, that keeps us from going beyond the comfort zone and being the modern maverick?
The first thing I talk about a lot in the book is defining your own version of success. I think we all understand on some level what success is, and I think we all want to move towards it. But as you say, we're very informed by our parents, by our peers, by the media, by government, by social media, about what everyone else thinks success is. You know, it's sort of power and fame and medals and money and likes and followers. I think that's really unhelpful. So the sort of first stage, really, of the modern maverick process, if you like, is what really matters to you? You know, if you had free rein, what would success mean for you? And trying to move it from a very work-focused idea of success to a much broader idea of life success that for sure includes, for example, parenting or friendships or volunteering, or, you know, your own sense of sort of happiness and well-being, I guess, that has to fit into an overall version of your own personal definition of success. The second thing that gets in our way is we can be quite tired a lot of the time and a bit burnt out. And so the second half of the book really shifts into a quite a practical way of understanding where we might be low on sort of key resources in our lives, if you like, and how we might boost those that then enable us to go and make some of these changes that we've identified in the first half.
Do you think in all of that, though, too many of us are people pleasers? I know you have this line in the book of, you know, no one else is watching the movie of your life, that we care too much about what other people think. And I think that makes us second guess. Maybe you're making other people happy around you, but not actually yourself.
The real inspiration for the book came from an article I read by a woman called Bronnie Ware, who was a terminal care nurse who looked after people when they were dying. And she talked to people over 15 years at those last crucial moments. And she noticed there were five key regrets that these people had. And the first one is, I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. Now, we may think that, well, we've got spouses or parents or great friends, but actually they're caught up in their own movie, and even very concerned husbands, wives, partners. If you really think about how much time you spend watching other people's videos, it's not very much at all. So I think we are liberated to just say, look, what really matters to me? Not to kind of ride roughshod over everyone else. That's not the point here at all. But it is to try and let go, I think, of those expectations that others have of us, that society has of us, which is hard. And you know, it's hard to do because they're very ingrained from a very early age. So I think that is the key of just saying, I just don't need to do all this stuff. And worse, I'm not sure often people have checked in saying, do you want me to be doing this for you? You know, if you ask your kids, what do you really want from me as a parent? You sometimes get quite a surprising answer. It's probably not the nice holiday or, you know, the nice house. It's probably, can we just spend some time together? Or can you just be around? Or I think we get surprised when we take on these expectations and others of others, and they're often not true. They need interrogating a bit, I think.
And do you think because we're not asking those questions and maybe having those moments of introspection, we get stuck in careers, we get stuck in life as a result?
I think that's right. And I think that when I work with clients, what I often find is how reactive they've been. You know, conversation will go like this and say, oh, well, I, you know, left school, left university, wasn't really sure what I wanted to do, took this job. And then someone else approached me and said, do you want to do this? And then I moved there and then this. And suddenly you're in your 40s and 50s. You're like, whoa, how did I end up here? You ended up here by a series of kind of quite reactive decisions where other people have put something in front of you and you've gone, okay, I'll do that. And I think what the book is really talking about is saying, hang on, let's change that. Let's spend some time really thinking about the life you would like and shaping that. And then how do you go about creating the offers or the opportunities that allow you to live that life? You're living someone else's life in a way, not the life that you're here to live.
If we're to get better at the question of what does it look like to be happy in our work and happy at our work, you've this 4D exercise, discover, dream, do and develop. Can you talk us through just on a very practical, tangible level for people who feel stuck in life or maybe stuck in careers and how to kind of tap into that inner maverick?
The first one, discover, is spending that time thinking about who you are. And in a coaching conversation, you always do that with a coach. But in the book, I'm encouraging you, there are lots of exercises in the book to help you tackle some of those questions that we tend to gloss over if we're just left on our own. And also talking to others around you who know you well. What really matters to you? What are your key values in life? That's the sort of discover piece, if you like. The dream piece is, okay, let's put aside practicalities. Let's put aside financial concerns. Let's put aside all these things that weigh us down. And say, actually, if you could design a great life for you, a great life for your family, what would that look like? And we do talk a little bit about purpose there, this idea of, well, what do I really want to do? What am I meant to do? We talk about broadening the definition of work, that it's not just turning up at the office, doing the hours. Work can be many things. It could be caring. It can be volunteering. It can be in your community. So trying to sort of lessen that grip that we have of the amount of time and energy we spend kind of in the office. And then the third section about do is what I was talking a little about earlier, is let's get your energy levels up. Let's charge your sort of life battery, as it were. How are you sleeping? How are you eating? How does exercise look? How are some of your key relationships? How are the stress levels? A bit like your guest Karen Dillon was talking about, these micro stresses. Is your day very draining? What can you do about it? So it gets very sort of granular, the third part. And the last bit, this sort of develop, is, okay, how do we make sure this happens? This is hard, as you said. You're going to hit obstacles and roadblocks. That's fine. That's part of this process. But how do we make sure that instead of getting knocked back to where you were and giving up, you keep going? And I talk a lot about this magic sort of trick, I think, of choosing someone to make your accountability partner. So not only saying to them, look, this is what I'm going to try and do, but actually saying, can we meet in 2 weeks or a month and sit down? You can check in on me and we can problem solve together. And it is magic, because you write a goal down, the research says, look, 50% likely you're going to do it, but you choose someone to hold you accountable and you meet with that person, 95%. So it's a transformational idea. And in coaching, that's what your coach does, but you can do it with a friend or a partner or someone. Maybe they've got a goal they're trying to do. You can hold each other to account, the sort of co-partners, co-conspirators in this idea, which is a lovely idea.
You refer to that as clan in the book, C-L-A-N. Here in Ireland, clan means family.
Yeah, and I think, look, there's a quote in the book from Mother Teresa who said, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family. And I think we can be very externally focused. We live in this globally interconnected world where social media and our phones give us access to everyone on the planet, which on one level is amazing. But you're right. I do think it starts locally. And I think it starts with giving your best time and energy to those closest to you, you know, those who need you most, vulnerable people, children, elderly relatives. And I think if we all solved that first and then moved outwards in concentric circles, I think that is a big potential solution for some of the problems we're facing as a society.
Beautifully put. Thank you so much, Ed Haddon. You're the author of The Modern Maverick, Why Writing Your Own Rules is Better for You, Your Business and the World. Thank you so much for joining us on Reignite.
It's a pleasure.
That's it for this week. My thanks to our team and all the guests. I'm Áine Cuir, and that was Reignite.